David Lucas Burge Ear Training Library for Musical Excellence. The Perfect Pitch Ear Training Super Course, Masterclass 6.
What if you have a piano that cannot be tuned completely up to standard pitch?
All right, we don't worry too much about it if the piano is just a little flat or a little sharp. Of course, it's best to have a piano or any instrument that's tuned properly to standard concert pitch. But sometimes people think that if they practice on a piano that's a little flat, that they will learn all their notes a little flat, and then anytime they're asked to sing an A or something, it's going to come out a little flat. Now, this won't happen. If it's just a little bit off one way or another, remember, pitches are a range. The ear has heard so many different A's, so many different A flats, all of one's life. Just think how many millions of A's you've heard, how many millions of A flats. When you learn color discrimination, your ear somehow takes an average of what those tones are. It doesn't mean that if you study on a flat instrument, you're always going to sing an A that's a little flat. Of course, you don't want it to be too flat, because then it would completely change the pitch. Your A could become an A flat. We don't want that. But we don't become fanatical about tuning. Some people, when they start the exercises, they sometimes become a little fanatical, and they say, oh, I just cannot listen to that instrument. It's going to ruin my perfect pitch. I'm developing perfect pitch. Everything's got to be right on. No, no, no. It's not necessary to do this. It's just a range, and the ear learns what those ranges are. Remember, you've learned what green is. Green is a range. And you can separate green from yellow and green from blue, and not every green you see is the same, but you've seen so many different kinds of green, you get to know what green is, in the same way you'll get to know what G is, so you don't worry too much about this.
Should you use one piano or any piano?
Any piano is fine. See, when we say that you stay with your familiar instrument, it means any piano or any guitar. You know, they're all the same timbre. You don't have to stay with just your personal piano or your personal guitar. That's not necessary.
How soon should we begin to notice results?
Immediately. As soon as we start practicing these exercises, immediately the results are there. Now, you may not notice a huge thing. We don't expect that. We expect a gradual culturing of the ear, some little crispness of musical perception, which maybe wasn't there before. Or maybe if you're practicing the exercises and you notice some little bit of happiness comes in there. Now, this is a very good sign, because this little experience of joy or happiness is an experience of the depth of perception which music has to offer. This is what color hearing does. It gives you such a depth, and this gives an increased pleasure when listening to music. It's like with visual colors. When you are looking at a beautifully colored flower, a gorgeous flamboyant red, and it's sitting among lush green leaves, it gives some kind of happy experience which you wouldn't get if you were just looking at that in black and white. So when you're practicing your color hearing technique exercises, and then later on when you're listening to music generally, if you notice some little flashes of happiness and excitement and joy coming out, this is just the right experience of developing perfect pitch. These results start immediately. But of course, it takes time as we culture the ear until we get the full blast of it all.
Color Hearing Technique Session.
All right, now we'll go deeper into our color hearing technique exercises. Right now, we're getting the ear to zoom in on our tones to unlock them, so that we're able to hear each tone discreetly
You know, most people don't hear all the tones that flow past their ears. They only hear an overall sound. It's just a blurred impression. There's not much depth to it. So right now, we're working on our ability to unlock these tones so that we learn to hear all the parts of the music we're listening to. You've already listened to your major and minor thirds, and you were able to sing the bottom tones and the top tones. So now we're going to make it a little trickier. We're going to do the same thing with major and minor seconds. So for the keyboardists, this means you just reach out and play any two white tones that are together, like C and D, or D and E, or E and F. We're just using the white tones at this time. We play the tones, and then we sing them from the bottom up. La, la, just like that. For the guitarists, when we're dealing with major and minor seconds, it means you have one tone. I'm just going to play on the piano here. And you go up two frets and come to another tone. That's a major second. We also call this a whole step. A minor second is when you just go up one fret. And that's called a half step. So the guitarist can also play these whole steps and half steps. Of course, you'll have to figure out how to play your tones on two different strings because we want to play these two tones together. When we play tones together, we're playing them harmonically. When we play tones one after the other, we're playing them melodically. So in this drill, we'll play our tones together harmonically, and we simply sing them from the bottom up. La, la, just like that. It's very simple. This is a great ear waker upper, this drill, because unlike our major and minor thirds, these seconds, they have a dissonant sound. They clash a bit, especially these minor seconds, the half step. So it becomes a little bit of an ear teaser for you to sort out the top tone from the bottom tone. It's a good sound for your ear to wrestle with a little. As you continue to listen, you'll see that these two dissonant sounds, they start to clarify. At first, you may say, whoa, what is this I'm listening to? But as you continue, they clarify, and you'll be able to easily sing them from the bottom to the top. And when you can do this, then your ear has just opened up that much more. So we're just going to let our ears continue to open more and more with each new technique that we're going to do. There's just another unfoldment with every little step that we're taking on this path of listening with perfect pitch. So for our solo keyboardists and guitarists, we're going to be practicing our unlocking technique with these major and minor seconds. The keyboardists are just using the white tones. The guitarists, you're using all your tones, obviously. And we'll consider ourselves to have passed this drill when we can do one verification round. One verification round. Now, I'll explain to you what one verification round means. We'll be using verification rounds for the remainder of the Perfect Pitch Super Course, so we'll explain now how it works. A verification round means that you pass 20 examples in a row, all correctly, without a mistake. You play your first example. You sing it. La, la. So we just got one right, so that's one. You check yourself, make sure you got it right. If you didn't get it right, you have to correct your error. Then you play your next example, and you continue on and on until you've passed 20 in a row correctly. If you make a mistake, you have to start all over again. Let's say, for instance, that you've already gotten 5 correct, but then you play your 6th one, and you can't get that because it's a little bit more dissonant, then you have to start all over because we need 20 in a row correctly. When we do 20 in a row correctly, then that's one verification round. And when you've accomplished this, then we'll consider you to have mastered that particular drill. Now, you may wonder how you're going to keep track of your 20 in a row. Well, You can do this with a pencil and paper if you want. Just make a note, a mark, every time you get one right. But there's a more fun way to do this. Here's what I like to do. You can get yourself a bag of marbles and get two bowls. And you can set these marbles in these two bowls. They should be very convenient to you, somewhere where you can easily reach them with your right hand or your left hand if you want. Don't set the bowls far away. They should be quite close and convenient to you. Now you put your marbles in one of the bowls. And each time you get an example correct, you just reach up, take one marble out of the bowl, and put it into the other bowl. And when all 20 marbles are moved from one bowl to the other, then you've passed your verification round. But remember, whenever you make a mistake, you have to pour all the marbles from the one bowl back in to the first bowl and start all over again, because you have to get 20 in a row correct. Now here's a little tip for you. You may hear I'm using paper bowls. I'm using those Chinette bowls, not the bowls from the kitchen that clink clink all the time, because that'll start to drive you crazy after a while. So you might want to try paper bowls because they're quiet. Anyway, you can keep track of your 20 in a row any way you want, but it's kind of fun with these marbles because it sort of gives you a sense of satisfaction every time you can take one of these marbles and drop it into the other bowl. So do your listening with your major and minor seconds, singing from the bottom up, and pass one verification round. This is for our solo keyboard and solo guitar groups. And when you've passed your verification round, then there's some more drills for you to do. You can write all these drills down on a paper right now. We have our first one, doing our major and minor seconds. The next drill for our keyboard solo group, this is just for the keyboard group right now, is to unlock any two tones using one hand only. This means you just reach out to the keyboard and play any two tones, black or white, and then sing them from the bottom up. La, la. And we check ourselves. We're just using one hand, so the tones are not too widely spaced. We're playing all these kinds of tones. Reach anywhere you want. We're playing with one hand only. And the tones are not too widely spaced. So unlock these sounds, do one verification round, and then go on to your third keyboard drill for this session. And that is, we're going to unlock wide tones. This means we play our tones wide. We reach out with two hands and play tones that are more spaced out, like this, and then we sing them from the bottom up, la, la. Now we're not going to sing them all in the right octave. The octave is not important. We're listening to them in whatever octave they are, and we're singing them in whatever range of voice we can sing them. So we reach out any two wide tones. Wide means more than an octave. And we sing them from the bottom up and do one verification round on those. You'll see that when you listen to the wide tones, it's a different experience than when the tones are played closer together. So this is a great drill. Now, our solo guitar group can also do these same drills. Any two tones close and any two tones wide, just use your own judgment about close and wide. You're playing them all with one hand, obviously, and picking with the other hand. So we don't have to be too particular about close and wide. Just generally, close means within an octave of each other, and wide means they're larger than an octave in distance. Now, when you've done these, our last unlocking solo drill is do three tones close. For the keyboardists, it means reach out, play any three tones, one-handed, we listen, we unlock the sounds with our ears so we hear each note discreetly, and then we sing them from the bottom up, la, 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 and we check ourselves, and we do one verification round of 20 in order to pass this drill. When you can do three tones close, then we'll also do three tones wide. Reach out, play two tones in one hand, and one tone in the other hand. La, la, la. Like that. Solo guitarist, you can do the same thing, three tones close, within an octave or so, and then you can do three tones wide, going to the more extreme ranges of your fretboard. So that's enough unlocking drills for this session. Now remember, go slow on these drills. Don't just whip them off and be done with them. If you find them easy, then go ahead and listen to each example anyway. And we listen with great interest. Remember, it's the listening that's opening our ears. So even if you can do an example easily, let's say we have something like this. You hear the tones and you immediately can sing them from bottom up. We still need to take the time to listen. Listen with interest to each tone and then sing them very consciously. This is going to be our key for developing perfect pitch. We always take the time to listen and sing consciously. Now, if you find that an example turns out to be tricky and you can't hear one of the tones, like say we're playing three tones, and you can't hear the middle tone, then take your time. Play the chord again, and again, and keep listening for the middle tone. Allow your ear to relax. Don't strain or force in any way. I'm going to repeat that. Do not strain or force your ear in any way. We listen in an easygoing style, and we let our ear hear. We don't shove our ear into the tones. We just allow the tones to come to us, okay? If you still can't hear a tone, then play that middle tone and listen to it. Hear it separately. Whatever tone is giving you problems, then just play that tone and then play the entire chord again and listen for that problem tone in the chord. Anytime you find that a chord is tricky, it just goes to prove that your ear was not hearing these things all along. The ear was sleeping. So this is all the more reason we need to sit and listen and do this ear training in order to wake up our ear. It just shows we need ear training. So we keep working on our ear just like this, and you'll find that as you do, it will cooperate and it will begin to hear these things. The magic formula to getting the ear to hear is keep listening, keep listening, keep listening, and listen gently. This is the magic formula for ear training. Always remember this. Now we'll discuss our ear training meditation technique for this session. This is something that all the instrumentalists can do. Before we listen to our C and our D, we heard them, then we heard them in our mind, and then we would sing them, la, and then we just checked ourselves. It was ridiculously simple, wasn't it? Now we're going to do something that is just as ridiculously simple. It's the exact same drill, but with a very subtle difference. We think the tone before we sing it. This is the difference. Like when I first come, I'm going to start with my C. So I think of the C in my mind, and then I sing it. La. Then I listen to the tone. I check it. If I'm wrong, then I play the tone that I really sang. Let's say I sang la, and then I sang a B. So I have to now listen to the B and listen to the C. Hear the difference. We always correct our mistakes in this way. We never just move on. We always take the time to hear the wrong note and the right note. So this is the way we'll work. We think the note first, and then we sing it. We check ourselves, and then we think the next note, which is the D. Think it in your mind, hear it, sing it, and check it. Now, when we first sing the C, you'll probably get it wrong because you haven't heard any other tone to get you started, and that's perfectly understandable. If your color discrimination is not fully there, then how are you going to get the C right off the bat? That's fine. You just correct your C and you continue. But then when you go to do the D, that's going to be easier because you've already heard your C. So that's fine too. We're using more relative pitch to get the D. So you sing the D and then you check yourself. If we got that wrong, we correct the error. And then we move back to the C again. It should be no problem because you did the C just a few seconds ago, so you'll be able to remember it when you come back to it again. So go back and forth between the C and the D for just a little bit in just this way, and do it like a meditation. Slow, quiet, easy, and relaxed. You don't have to pass any sort of verification round. Just practice it until you feel comfortable with our C and our D. This is a very powerful technique, as you're going to come to find out later. Now, don't be too picky about singing your tones. We just sing them very easily, la, and we check ourselves. We don't try to be absolutely, absolutely, totally in tune. See, sometimes people think that if you have perfect pitch, then you're a great singer. This is a very widely held myth, actually. But the thing is, perfect pitch is in the ear. It's not in the vocal cords. If you have perfect pitch and you're a singer, then great. You're going to be able to sing perfectly in tune, very beautifully. But if you're not a singer and you don't have great control of your voice, then it could waver. It could be a little flat, a little sharp. That's more having to do with vocal control. So if you have perfect pitch, you're not necessarily a great singer. I'm certainly not a singer, as I'm sure you can tell. And I've even had people over the years who have returned the course, a few of them, because I didn't like my singing, because they could hear that it wavers sometimes. So remember, that has to do with vocal control. Just generally sing the tone accurately within a range, and then you move on. We don't become too perfectionistic about the whole thing. So that completes all of our solo drills for this session. You can spend about 15 minutes a day on these solo drills until you're comfortable with all of them and you've passed all your appropriate verification rounds, and then you can move on to Masterclass 7. But we're not finished with our session yet. Now we move on to our team players. Those of you who have teamed up with another person to work with, I'm going to now give you your team drills for this session. And remember, you can also do the solo drills that we've just talked about as well. Our drill today for our team players is melodic and harmonic pitch identification with C and D. These are the two tones we're going to be using for this drill, just our C and D. We're studying C and D right now only. Now, this means C and D on your instrument, whether it's piano, guitar, whatever. If your instrument is pitched in B flat or it's pitched in F, it doesn't make any difference. We're still going to use the C and D on our own instrument, whatever it is. We're not necessarily using a concert pitch C. It's a C or D on your instrument. So everybody's using C and D except our guitarists. You know, I'd like the guitarist to use two different tones, not C and D. You know what those tones might be, guitarist? What tones do you think I want you to use? I'll give you a hint. What key do you think is the root of the guitar? Have you ever thought about this? What chord would you say best suits the guitar as the fundamental basic chord for the entire instrument? Now, on the piano, we could say it's C major. We could say that's our root chord. It's the most basic chord on the piano. So what's the most basic chord on the guitar? Think about it a second. How many of you said E major? I think that some of you were thinking E major because the first and last frets are E's. But actually, I've chosen a different chord. Now, this is just my opinion. This isn't some kind of scientific fact or anything. It's just, to my ear, the root chord of the entire guitar is A major. It's kind of hard to explain why, but that just seems like the most fundamental chord that you hear on the guitar. In fact, so many guitar pieces are in A major. You hear A major all over the place. You don't hear A flat major nearly as much. Have you ever noticed this? I'd like the guitarist to start our training with the A major scale, because I want that A sound to get soaking into your ears, because your ears have already been soaking with this A for so long anyway. So that's why I want us to start off by using A and B for our first drill instead of C and D. So all the others are using C and D, and our guitarists will be using A and B. So guitarists, whenever I say C and D, you just have to remember that for you, I really mean A and B, okay? So our first team drill is just this. One person plays either C or D, and the other person names it. D. C. C. D. Just like that. It's so simple. You've only got two notes. One is high and the other's low. So pass one verification round and you're finished. That's it. Then our next drill, we're going to play two tones together and name them like this. We identify from the bottom up, C, D. We can play our tones close or wide, doesn't make any difference, and your partner names them from the bottom up. We're just using C and D at this point, remember. Or A and B if we're a guitarist. Now, if you're a single tone instrumentalist, let's say you're working on flute, then of course we don't play two tones at once, unless you have some sort of a very special kind of a flute that I don't know about. Instead, what we do is we play two tones melodically, one after the other. Like that. Now, when you identify tones melodically, we always identify in the order they were played, like D, C. We say them in the order. That makes sense. We don't try to identify the lowest tone first. We just say them in the order that they were played. Everyone listening should make a note of this for future reference. It's kind of obvious. When you hear a string of tones, we're always going to identify them in the order they were played. But when we hear a chord of tones, we'll always sing or identify them from the bottom up. That'll be our rule of thumb, okay? So one team player should play tones for the other player. You can drill your partner's ear for about 10 or 15 minutes, and if he or she passes a verification round or two, great. If not, fine. You just pick back up the next day where you left off. So one person listens 10 or 15 minutes, then we switch, and the other person listens and does the drills, and that's how our team players will work. So now everyone, solo people, team people, everyone to their corners with the drills you can do. Don't worry about any drills you can't do. Just do the ones you can in your own personal situation. But don't skip a drill because you think it's too easy. These beginning drills may seem too easy for a lot of you. This we never do. Enjoy the easy drills right now because they'll make your perfect pitch training all the more smooth as we progress step by step. So pass all your verification rounds, and I'll see you in your next Perfect Pitch Masterclass session.